so much, Bonnie. I don't know about you, but I need him. How about you? I need him so much. And I'm so glad that we're having this week of prayer, because life is not easy. Life is hard. It's almost as if we're bombarded left and right from different stressors, things in the world, things maybe even under my own roof. And God has brought you here tonight. And here's the other part of the good news. We're going to be here all week. Let me rephrase that. That's not good news. That's great news. Hopefully, as you came in, you were able to get one of the study guides that'll help guide the content of this evening's presentation. The war behind all wars. And as we get started, I just want to pray one last time. Gracious Father, we thank you because you draw us unto you. And you do so because of your great love towards us. Thank you because no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, you love us just the way we are. And you want us to be with you. And that's what this week is all about. So grant us your spirit with great power. In Jesus' name, amen. Week of prayer. Hopefully you had a time to pray with those around you. But also, tonight, if you have some special prayer requests, stay by, come towards the front, and we can pray for you. If there's something heavy on your heart. The war behind all wars. We live in a time in which we are bombarded by wars. In fact, we're almost used to always living in a time of war, unfortunately. My cousin was born on December 7th. And if you're a historian, December 7th was quite an interesting day. On that day in 1941, there was two soldiers who were manning security, watching the radar, and they did see two warplanes approaching quickly. And so they told their superiors, what we see here appears to be two warplanes approaching Pearl Harbor. The superiors, it seemed as if it came in one ear and out the other. They said, oh no, it's probably some charter plane or something like that. And they blew it off. These two soldiers, they went off to breakfast since their superiors put them at ease. On that day, over 2,400 soldiers died. They sounded the alarm to what they believed what was true, and yet it fell on ears that did not heed the warning. And what I love about the Bible, particularly the book of Revelation, is that we find warnings about what's going to come. And I pray that tonight our ears are wanting to heed the message. Because it could be like that infamous day in 1941. In fact, it will be much, much worse than that day. Revelation happens to be my favorite book in all the scriptures. People come to me like, Pastor, I want to understand the book of Revelation, without realizing that the 66th book is loaded with the 65 books. And so if we really want to understand the book of Revelation, we actually have to have a good understanding of all of scripture. Aren't you glad that we can take the Bible as a whole? The Bible says, Matthew 22, 37 and 40, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang what? All the law and the prophets. You see, there has been a war that has been fought, but actually, it's still ongoing. There's like different chapters to this war, And to understand this war, what we just finished reading is at the very foundation, because it has to do with the kingdom of God. And did you notice that there was something in these verses that was somewhat repeated? There was like a common denominator. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in the first great one, what was it about? Love to God. And the second one was about? Love to our neighbor. God's kingdom is built on L-O-V-E, love. God loves you. No. God loves you. He loved us so much that he died for us. In fact, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you think that nobody loves you in this world, wrong answer. Somebody does. And it's the God of the universe. And maybe the people around us may not be too crazy about us, but that can be okay, because guess who loves us? God does. And if he loves me, that's okay. That's enough. Praise the Lord. My wife loves me. I love her too. And so Jesus died to express this love to us, because God would rather die than not be with you for eternity. I think that's good news. And so because God's kingdom is built on love, because of an incredible war that started many years ago, so that you and I can be with God, there's someone who's not happy about that. In fact, it's almost as if there was a chapter that started up there and then another chapter that continued down here. And yet, we could be so engrossed in our gadgets and are doing this and are doing that, that we could be oblivious to the fact that something cosmic is going on. Something that is affecting the whole universe, and it's affecting you and it's affecting me, is occurring. Something that, as we read Genesis chapter 1, we see how God created a beautiful world, and there's something about God being creator that is amazing for us. But there was someone who wasn't too crazy about the fact that God is the creator. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Amen? But you see, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came together, they had a God committee meeting, and they decided how to create the world. There was someone who wasn't invited to that meeting. They did not get the memo, and it was on purpose. And that was a very, very high-ranking angel. And so this started a friction in heaven. A friction because this high-ranking angel had some issues. The Bible says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives what part of the world? The whole world. But Pastor, you can't be talking about Roseburg, Oregon. Deception would never happen here. What does the Bible say? The whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. So, in this war, we find that we had Michael and his angels, and who else was fighting? The dragon and his angels. Michael is actually a military term. The name Michael means who is like God. And who is like God? Jesus not only is like God, Jesus is God. And Michael, as I said previously, is not only a military name, Michael is the commander of the angels. Why? Because here we read it was Michael and his angels. So somebody has to be at the forefront. You see, Michael is not a created being. He's actually, as we read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Word became flesh. Actually, chapter 1, verse 14, and dwelt among us. This Word created all that there is. This Word is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the master creator. He's the one who said in the beginning, let there be light. He's the one who said, let there be firmament. Let there be water over here and dry land over there and shrubs and trees. Let there be sun, moon, and stars. Let there be birds. Let there be fish, land animals, and mankind. He's the one who said all these things. And he's the one who's engaged in this war between him and the devil and his angels. And so here we see how this war starts in heaven, and some of these issues, I'd like to say, were just things that happened a long time ago. In fact, some of these things could even be prevalent in our day today. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, the Bible says, how you are fallen from heaven. If you're following your study guide, that's question number 3. Has Satan always been a sinner? Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You ever been around somebody who always wants to be first? Or who always wants to get the top job? Those are usually the people that should have nothing to do with that position. Because if they did, they make a mess. Because with great position also comes great responsibility. And so here the Bible says that Lucifer, son of the morning, what a name! You see, this angel was very, very bright. This angel was very, very powerful. He was the top-ranking angel. But there was just a little problem. He didn't like being an angel. He wanted to be God. He didn't like being number two. Number two, nobody gets their picture in the paper when you're number two. Number one, that's a different story. And so this high-ranking angel, some people think that the devil has horns and a tail and carries around some pitchfork and is going all over the place dressed that way. No, that's not him. In fact, the devil was, well, Lucifer was a beautiful being. But as he started looking to himself, he started getting mighty ugly. And you know, the same thing happens with us. When I start looking to me and worrying just about me and forgetting about those around me, I start becoming ugly too. Maybe I look good on the exterior, but my heart, my desire to share, oh, I don't want to be around that person because they're going to get the biggest piece of the pie. They don't like sharing. And so this angelic being, he wanted to be above the stars of God. He wanted to be like the Most High. Lucifer's plan was to misrepresent God's character. What did we say God's kingdom was built on? Love. So he was saying, God's kingdom is not built on love. In fact, it's the wrong kingdom. He also wanted to become God. You see, God is the only one who can know good and evil at the same time and still be sinless. Lucifer, once he came to know evil, he also became a sinner. Number three, he wanted to set up a new government. Because he had issues with the government. And last but not least, he wanted to kill anyone who gets in the way of being able to do that. And so here we see how the devil, he never comes to us just the way he is. He's not going to come to us and say, "Hi, Sam, my name is the devil. Nice to meet you." He doesn't come like that. He always disguises himself. In fact, as we're going to be taking a look at Bible prophecy, we're going to start seeing how right before Jesus comes back, he will also disguise himself. In fact, the book of Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 talks about it. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if he had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." If some of what I just finished reading from Revelation 13, 1 through 4 kind of went over your head, that's okay. We're going to come back to this later this week. So make plans to be here every night, because this is just a foretaste of topics that we'll be discussing nightly. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. You remember what we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9? That this war was between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. So here in Revelation 13, the Bible's telling us that this camouflaged power is granted its authority from who? The dragon. And who is the dragon? Satan. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him?" And so what you're hearing could maybe frighten you, like, "Pastor, this is worse than a horror story." No. I like hearing things that are nice and pretty and safe. Well, the truth is, the book of Revelation actually paints a very bright picture at the end, because someone is not wanting to give up the fight. You see, if the devil lost in heaven, take a guess where the war continues? Down here on earth. And if we supposedly want to walk with Jesus, do you think the devil's just going to say, "Oh, well, just have at it. Walk with Jesus. I think that's a great decision. I'll support you." No, the devil's not going to do that. In fact, he wants to make sure that all of us not only stumble, but that all of us die. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him, and he comes, and he kind of comes to us in a very sneaky way. The devil will come with some of the Bible, just enough so that he can wrap some lies around it. And he came to Jesus and he said, "You know, if you're the Son of God, make these stones into bread." Was that such a big lie? Well, according to the Bible, is Jesus the Son of God? Yes, he is. So what's the lie? The lie was, if. And Jesus could have proved that he indeed was the Son of God. But no, there was something that Jesus stuck to. The Bible says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, Jesus lived by the Bible. And that's the book that all of us need to be entrenched in these last days. Because you think the devil just is coming after Eve? No. Just when you thought the devil's not coming after me, guess what? He's on my tracks. And so, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Ezekiel chapter 28 gives us more details. Question number 7 in your study guide: what position did Lucifer once occupy and why did he rebel? The Bible says, Ezekiel 28, 14 to 17, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. Do you know what an anointed cherub is? A cherub is an angel. The anointed cherub takes us to the Old Testament sanctuary, in which you have the courtyard. In the courtyard, you had the altar of burnt offerings. You had then the water laver where the priests were to wash before entering the holy place. In the holy place, you had the candlestick, and then you had the table of showbread. And right before you get to the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, you had the altar of incense. You go through the curtain, the veil, and there was the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments, a jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that had budded. On top of the Ark of the Covenant were two angels that were facing each other. And right between them, the Shekinah glory would manifest himself. The anointed cherub was one of those two angels that had been in the very presence of God. I establish you were in the holy mountain of God. That's another way of saying heaven. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were what? Created. Till iniquity was found in you. Why was iniquity found in him? By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. You see, this angel, Lucifer, he once upon a time was in the presence of God. And once he looked to himself, bad things started to happen. He not only lost his position, he was cast to the earth, but his name changed as well. In fact, the complete opposite happens when we come to Jesus. You ever notice that? What happened with Jacob? Jacob, his name means deceiver. And his name was changed to Israel. We read about Saul of Tarsus. He was after Christians, persecuting them. And God changed his name from Saul of Tarsus to Paul. And so Lucifer, when he was kicked out of heaven, not only did his name and who he was called change, but also his character changed. You see, the devil, he said, you know, God, your laws are just too restrictive. Kind of like that don't cross police ribbon. If I were God, things would be so much better. In fact, nobody can keep your laws because they're just too stringent. And so these were the things that this supposedly all-knowing angel who wanted to start up a new government was sharing, not only telling God that, but putting that in the ears of the other angels. And so God said, well, you think that, huh? And God said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a perfect world and I'll put two perfect people in it just so that they can show that my laws are just and good. And the devil said, you know what? I can't wait. And so we know the story. God told them, you can eat from every tree of the garden except one. But yet the devil shows up to Eve and he tells her, is it true that God said you can't eat from any tree of the garden? Did you see how he was working at distorting God's character? The story says that Eve, she saw how the fruit was good to her eyes and it was beneficial, supposedly. She eats, she gives to her husband, and the rest is history. Satan says, I told you, God. Your laws aren't just. Your laws aren't fair. God says, I'll tell you what. I'll send my only son in the form of man into a sinful world to show you that indeed my laws can be kept. Devil says, bring it. The Bible tells me that Jesus committed how many sins? Zippo. Not even one. And then we start seeing how Jesus is faithful to the point of death, and he dies on the cross, and the devil says, well, you know what? You call yourself a God of love, but look where it got your only son. It got him killed. But what happened on the third day? He rose from the grave. Checkmate. You see, if we are faithful to God, even if it were to include death, what will happen when Jesus comes back? There will be resurrection of the righteous, the Bible says. Hallelujah. And so Jesus and his death proves that God's law can be kept, that God is a God of love. And now you and I have a decision whether or not to make of following Jesus. To not be deceived by Satan's lies. You see, once Adam and Eve sinned, does the Bible say that God said, you know what? I'll pray for you guys. Hopefully you find a way out. No, my Bible tells me that the Lord came after. Not came after them in the sense of, oh, they're going to get it now. But he came looking for them and said, well, Adam, where are you? Because he missed communion with them. And so as they sinned, they realized that they were naked and they needed a covering. You see, even when we mess up, our gracious God comes to us and wants to fix things for us. Isn't that good news? I don't know if there's things in your life that you need God to fix. I know there's things in my life that I need God to fix. And this week is about coming to Jesus so that he can fix not only the problems, but so that he can fix me. So make plans for tomorrow. Decisions to come to Jesus. I'm so glad that the song you were singing earlier, leading out with in song service, Margie, was talking about how we need to get the Bible. In the Bible, there's wonderful words of life. In the Bible, there's power. If it's been a while since we've been in the Word of God, when we get home today, let's spend a little time in the Word. And then before you get out to work tomorrow, spend a little time in the Word. Because it's going to be power that you're going to need for the rest of the day. Because the devil is still out to deceive you and I. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. So that he will not hear. I praise God that tonight we can confess our sins to Jesus. Jesus, the one who died to forgive us of our sins. Jesus, the one who's coming back again. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. I told you to begin with tonight that God loves you. And tonight is a night not just to hear those words. Tonight is a night to believe those words. Tonight is a night to say, I don't want to perish. I want Jesus. I want him and eternal life. And so don't let tonight go by without making your decision for Jesus. And it may be that you've been in the church for a long time, but guess what? You think the devil's on vacation? No. Make your decision again for Jesus. I choose Jesus. Bible says, 1 John 4:8, that God is what? God is love. And the God that we have is one who honors our choices. And love is huge. Because love implies choice, but also love implies something else. Love implies discipline. You might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like a very nice word. Well, it's true. And I'll show you how. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 9, that this angel that caused war in heaven, that continued his shenanigans down here on earth, that is on your tail, that is on my tail, one day soon, the Bible says, that his day of reckoning is coming. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And so the Bible says that Satan and his angels, and also those who have rejected Christ, their end result will be fire. And since God is love, the fire will start and the fire will end. Right? In fact, that's what Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 through 3 tells us. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. That sounds like hot. And all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. This world of sin, didn't it start because the devil deceived our first parents? You see, the root of evil according to humanity has everything to do with the devil. He is the root of evil. And the branches are his angels that are busy tempting us. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be what? Ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. You see, some people think that our God is going to be burning the devil and his angels and the wicked for eons. As if heaven and the new earth is going to be an amazing place, and make sure you look that way because you don't want to see the barbecue happening over here. No, that's not God. You see, every loving parent disciplines their child. It's true. I mean, we see a little toddler about to put their finger in the socket and we say, don't do that. And they continue to put their finger in the socket, maybe we pull their arm back. And they continue to put their finger in the socket, maybe a little slap on the finger. Until they get the picture. Hopefully. Quickly. And so, love disciplines, but love also puts an end to the disciplining. Why? Because there's a word for endless disciplining. It's called abuse. And the Bible says that God is love. And it's a little hard for the devil, the wicked, and his angels to be burnt, for them to be burning endlessly if there will be ashes under our feet. So how can we be safe from danger? Because I want to be safe and sound. The Bible says in James 4, 7, and 8, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Have you ever felt like maybe you wanted to get into the ring with the devil and duke it out? Well, don't do that. Because he's very, very, very powerful. Powerful than all of us combined, and he knows the Bible probably better than all of us combined as well. And the Bible says that we're able to be safe from danger when we submit to God. I don't know where you may be in your walk with God tonight. But he's calling us to submit to him. Because if I'm not going God's way, which way am I going? I'm going the wrong way. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In 1914, a man by the name of Shackleton, he and his crew aboard SS Endurance had endeavored to sail to Antarctica to be able to cross Antarctica completely by foot. there was just one little problem. SS Endurance got caught in frozen waters. And so their captain, Shackleton, he told his crew of 22 men, I need you to stay here. I'm going to go to a nearby island. I'm going to get help, and I'll be back. Wait for me here. And so he goes off, and he's thinking, man, I don't know if they're really going to pay attention to what I said. I'm probably going to have many, many casualties. I bet I'll just have four people waiting there for me. He comes back. He not only finds four, but he finds all 22 men that were waiting for him. You see, they listened to their captain's voice. You see, their captain was one who they could trust. Their captain was one who was honest. And he meant what he said and said what he meant. And don't we have a captain that is honest? Don't we have a captain who is true and righteous? You see, this captain, the captain, the general of the angels of heaven, he is coming back. And he's wanting you and I to be ready for that day. The Bible says, John 5 verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The only place that you and I will have life is in Jesus Christ. What you've been hearing tonight is laying foundation to the fact that there's prophecies yet that are being fulfilled right before our eyes. And they're given to us so that we may remember the captain's coming back. And the captain is coming back soon. Is it your desire to be ready? It's my desire to be ready myself tonight. If that's your desire, why don't you raise your hand saying, Pastor, I've made my mind up. I want to be ready for when Jesus comes back. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you have promised to save us. For those who come to you will in no wise be cast out. Thank you because we have not gone too far. The fact that the devil's working on us is only proof that you have mighty big plans for our lives. But nonetheless, Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. May you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May you lead us ever closer to the Savior. And may you use us as instruments to lead others to you. Some people don't even know that Jesus is coming back. I pray that between now and tomorrow night, you may show us who needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So bless us, Father. May we be ready tonight for the day in which Jesus shall come. In Jesus' name, amen.